I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Fata.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, October 23rd, 2017.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Season 3, as they say.
Yeah, exciting.
Yeah.
Feels like it's been forever.
It has. Well, we haven't talked since, well, May. You know, we're talking now. It's almost the end of October. I was complaining the other day on Twitter because my office at home is downstairs. It's not in the basement, but it's the ground level.
Right.
And then I live upstairs, and so I put the temperature up to 22 downstairs, and it's very comfortable. But then that means it's 22 upstairs,
which is too hot.
Yeah. So I mean,
I hate it.
What's the ideal temperature for you when you're either in a hotel or you're at home?
Well, so at home, we still have the old school dial, thingy, right?
Uh-huh.
So typically for me, like, I just turn it until it clicks, because, you know, that means that it's on.
Yeah.
Because I can't just start it off initially putting it at 10. It doesn't click at 10. So I think I have to do it up till about 15 before the place starts warming up.
Yeah.
But we have thermostats in every room. So typically if I'm downstairs, like I have a little thermostat in the hallway.
Yeah.
If I even turn that on, I woke up the other night sweating.
Yeah.
It was way too hot down here.
So, I mean, you can control it where in one room it can be, it's like in England,
it could be, but, I mean, much like your situation, if I turn the heat on downstairs,
yeah,
we typically don't need to turn the heat on upstairs.
I see, yeah.
Because heat rises, of course.
Yeah.
But then I always find that it's too hot down here. So if I can, I'll turn the heat off downstairs and let the kids turn on their own heat upstairs. Because I don't really sleep upstairs too often. So it doesn't bother me. It's really when I'm sleeping. And at hotels, it's just, oh, God, it's just a mess. I go between, 22 and 25, sometimes 28.
Well, that's a little hot.
It depends on the hotel, you know. Some places, 28 feels like it takes forever, and then, you know, you crank it, and then it gets too hot. it's hard for me.
But it's the same thing, too, in the summer. Like, when you put the air conditioning on, it takes too long to get cold, right?
It does.
So.
Well, in the summer, if I'm at a hotel, I just leave, hopefully if there's a balcony, I usually leave it open like a crack.
Yeah, well, you know.
I can deal with that a lot more than the AC, because I can't handle it being that cold.
But when you leave the room, let's say you leave the room for the day, do you leave the thing on, the air
conditioner?
Oh,
I crank the AC on.
I don't do that. No, I think that's a waste. I turn it off and then...
Who's it wasting? You're not paying the bill.
Well, we'll eventually pay the bill. You know, I mean, they'll add it to the price one day.
One day. For now, it's a time for me to use all the power and electricity I can that I don't have to pay for.
Well, I heard you went up to Fort St. John, so if they build Site C, we won't have to pay very much for.
Well, then I will just leave everything on when I leave my room. Then, once that's done, because apparently there's a lot of power to be made from that Site C, so
yeah,
I look forward to expending all that energy.
But you were there for work, were you?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. So that wasn't like a vacation. Well, I guess it was sort of a vacation.
It was kind of a vacation because it's away from the city. So it was nice. Like I said, I saw a black bear. That was pretty cool. Saw the Site C Dam. And just a lot of, really beautiful landscape that we don't get to see every day here in Vancouver.
Well, and that'll get replaced once they build the dam, right?
It will.
Yeah.
It'll be replaced by a dam.
Yeah. A flooded, yeah.
You know, unfortunate. I mean, what I understand is it'll be flooded and then essentially leveled off.
Yeah.
So agriculture and everything will be kind of replenished from the point of where the dam is built up to. But even at that, it covers quite a vast amount of land. And quite a large space.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a contentious issue, so I don't have a lot to say on it, but we'll see what comes of it. I mean, I'm hoping it's as beneficial as they lead us to believe.
Yeah, and I guess the NDP wants to stop it, or supporters of the NDP, I should say, want to stop it, and so that's why it's being held up now. The government,
most of them do.
The government wants to hold it up because they feel that, you know, they want to review it or so on and so forth. Did you do much other traveling this summer?
No, unfortunately we didn't. It was just so busy. Like, I pretty much worked through the whole summer.
Yeah.
It went by like it didn't even happen.
Yeah, these things go by too quickly, I think, you know.
It does. It didn't even feel like I had a summer. I didn't even do anything for my birthday, which is, you know, a little different. But, yeah, it went by very quickly. I did go to Seattle for a weekend to visit my son and her baby. And I'm going to talk about that for a second.
Sure.
If you don't mind me going.
Well, I like Seattle. Seattle's a wonderful town. I spent 4 days there in March.
I love Seattle. And this is the thing. So my best friend, who you also know.
Yeah.
She lives down there now with her husband and her three kids, right?
Uh-huh.
And so her youngest daughter was born on my birthday. So this year she was turning one on our birthday.
Yeah.
And so I went down there not only, you know, obviously because it's my birthday, but to also celebrate with them because I never get to go down there very often to see her and the kids.
Yeah.
And this kid, she's turning one, but she's just like attached to her mother's hip. So,
like in a good way, or
no, like in a completely negative way. She could not put her down. Like nobody else could touch her, or she would scream. And it just was horrible. And I'm thinking. I mean, her mom was saying to me that, you know, they always, because her mom is, my best friend is Filipino, and, and I mean, even for the longest time when I just had Simona and Sophia, her Lola, grandma was always trying to get me to have another kid so I could have a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, absolutely not. So they think it's like a running joke for them now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that weekend when we were there, her mom says to me, "Oh, Jackie, after this, are you thinking of having another one?" I'm like, actually, after this, I'm thinking about removing my ovaries completely. Like, all of it. I don't want children at all after this experience.
Yeah.
I'm so happy not to have to deal with babies again. And it was just like, wow, it was a really eye-opening experience.
So why is the baby so attached to the mother? Is it
because she's instilled this in her?
Oh, well, so the mother doesn't really mind either, right?
No, she completely accepts it. Now,
yeah.
Have you met children like this? I love her, of course. She's my best friend, and she's her baby.
Yeah.
But you've ever met some kids that, like, I think I said to Simone on the way back, I was like, I don't think I like her. I don't think I like this kid.
You can tell already at one?
I don't know. Maybe I'm being hypercritical, but I was like, I'm just not feeling it. Like, she was not a happy child with me, anyway.
Well, the kid's only one, so you know.
Well, I hope she changes.
Yeah.
You know, but again, like I said, my kids are 14 and 9. You know, I've had some time away from babies for that long.
Yeah, did you have time away from them, though, when they were, like, 1, 2, 3? Like, they weren't attached to you? Like...
Oh, no, my children were well-adjusted.
Yeah.
Like, they needed to be disattached, unattached, whatever it may be, from me.
Yeah.
Because they needed to go to daycare.
Mm.
And they needed, like, we needed to live our lives. And I can respect, you know, now, because it's just me, and they're older, we do spend a lot of time together. So... I do recognize now that we are somewhat very attached. They're attached to me. But not, as a baby, it's very difficult to live your life and have this baby hanging off of you every moment of the day.
Hmm.
You know, nobody can take her or she's screaming. Like, that's not fun for anybody.
Yeah. So it was like that the whole weekend?
It was like that the whole weekend.
So
yeah.
Even when you'd go out to the store or something like that?
Joseph, that triggered me. Yeah. We had to go to the store because, again, it was her birthday, so they were having a big party.
Yeah.
And we went to the store, and I don't know why, but we went at, like, 10 o'clock at night. And this kid, I had to take her so that my friend could pay. And she screamed like somebody was murdering her. Like, the checkout guy was looking at me.
Like a kidnapper?
Was looking at her like, wow, woman, like, lady, can you please take your baby?
Yeah.
Like, and I actually did. I just said, here, take the baby, give me your wallet, I will pay him. Because I can't deal with this. We had to go in different cars. She was like, oh, do you want to come with me? And I said, is the baby coming? She's like, yeah. And I was like, no, I'll go in a different car.
Well, you know, you got to cut the kid some slack. I mean, the kid's only one.
Well, I have options, though, right?
But, I mean, you know, the other thing, too, is you don't see them often. So maybe that's an excuse to go down there more often, and then you get to know the kid.
Yeah,
but you don't like the kid already.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. And I'm like, I've now shared this with the public, so wow.
But do you think if you had had a son, do you think it would have been different than, say, when you had two daughters?
I think so. I think, well, it'd be different in the sense that I'd be able, you know, I'd be raising my son to, number one, be extremely respectful of women.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's important, especially in today's society. And I think that's something that more parents need to do, especially with their boys, and especially for girls. Like, girls need to be raised, of course, to have respect for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, with that being said, boys should also be raised to not only respect themselves, but the women that are around them.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we've seen in light of recent situations with Harvey Weinstein and such, and things going on in Hollywood, there's a lack of respect towards women within the industry and just within society in general.
Now, you worked in makeup for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice any of that, sort of the bro culture, if you will? It's worse than bro culture. You know, it's assault and sexism and so on.
Totally worse than that.
But did you notice any of that? I mean,
you know, honestly, like, when I think even back to my time in makeup and time that I was working on set, not really. Surprisingly, I personally didn't experience it there or see it there, but I in other facets, definitely.
Yeah.
Growing up and just being a female in this city, I've seen and experienced it and know many others that have.
Yeah, I guess, well, Weinstein was able to do what he was doing for so long because it was in private, and a lot of the, you know, it was like in hotel rooms and such.
Right.
And it scared a lot of people that they didn't say anything for so long.
Well, and he had so many co-conspirators, really. Co-conspirators, as in people that knew and did not say anything. As people, as in other men.
Yeah.
Other colleagues of his that knew what he was doing and didn't speak up. And so that helped to perpetuate the culture.
And so do you think now that it's out in the open, that this one guy and other people too, like I forget the name of the director that was exposed on Sunday, as well as others, in like the Cosby matter previously, has there been a change? Do you think that, I mean, like you mentioned your daughters earlier, do they know who, I mean, they must have known who Bill Cosby was, and did they know why he was in the news at that time, and do they know about the Weinstein matter today?
I don't think, like, Simone, my eldest, has not really asked.
Yeah.
I don't know, but, you know, it's surprising, to be honest. Like, she, of course, at 14, they see a lot on social media.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she knows a lot more than I probably think she knows, but we've never really talked about that
discussed
issue
it,
per se, right? But, you know, I guess it's kind of a general discussion that we would have, and she goes to school dances and stuff, so, yeah. You know, we talk about appropriate and inappropriate touching, basically any kind of touching that is not welcome is inappropriate.
Yeah.
So unless you've asked, it's inappropriate. And unless you've welcomed it, it's inappropriate. And the same goes with verbal and other things like that. So
right.
We've had those general discussions.
Yeah.
But it comes in so many different forms, it's hard to, like, really...
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Me Too, the hashtag Me Too, and all the stories that women were sharing online.
Mm-hmm.
Many different situations, and I'm not just talking about, like, you know, the things that go viral, but people that I know, people that I'm sure you know,
mm-hmm.
who posted things after this all happened, right?
Yeah. And yeah, like, you know, like I've said before, and I mean, I can appreciate everybody that's come out and felt comfortable enough to come out, you know, sharing their stories of what's happened to them. But I think it shouldn't lessen kind of the meaning of people that don't come out
mm-hmm.
with their stories of abuse and sexual harassment, because, you know, I don't think they don't owe anybody their story.
Yeah.
And we have to appreciate that as well.
And I think the onus is on us, and not just as a guy, but I mean everybody else, that we have to be available if someone wants to, that we're going to listen to them
and not judge and just,
and
you know,
help them, right?
And help them. You know, so one of the things I had seen, like, even a few weeks ago, there was the rapper Nelly, he was accused of raping a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And even Usher, like, he was accused of sleeping with a girl and giving her herpes. And if you go, like, the first thing people were saying, well, we'll look at her. She's, like, 500 pounds. And it's, like, I don't know when since sexual assault or rape or anything was based on someone's size, weight, or what they look like.
Yeah, or that whatever size or whatever they look like justified it.
Or that justified it or doesn't justify it.
Yeah.
It's, like, just absolutely ridiculous. Saying and doing those things is, again, allowing these types of things to continue to happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When somebody comes to you with coming out with a story of sexual assault or harassment, you assume that they're telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Where it's not our place to judge.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see it happen, we do have a responsibility to try and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's course-correcting the person that's done it or trying to get the person that's being assaulted out of that situation.
Yeah, you mentioned a moment ago about the Weinstein matter, about these people that are around him that knew.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what the guys especially need to do, is if they see this or they even hear about it, to look into it so that it doesn't happen.
Well, yeah, and not condoning it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when... You know, a bunch of guys get together. I know it's, you know, fun times, but when you see something that you wouldn't appreciate somebody doing to your sister or your mother or saying something, that's when you need to step in
mm-hmm.
and course correct that situation. Because I'm sure once that person's called out,
mm-hmm.
they'll probably be too embarrassed to do it again.
Or it's also up to the person who looks into it or whatever, who listens, to not back down if the person's like a Harvey Weinstein and tries to bully them,
exactly,
into taking it back, which is, I'm sure, what happened and why a lot of people shut up.
Oh yeah, well because what I'm hearing is a lot of people were just like, oh well, that's just how Harvey is.
Yeah,
that's just how he is, and that's like. Absolutely inappropriate. And how many times have we heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear stories about, like, the weird uncle that always likes to give extra tight hugs, you know, and they, oh, that's just how he is. Like, no, it's inappropriate.
Mm.
It's unwanted touching.
Yeah.
you know, I the stories I've heard in the last week, it was, I almost had to just completely disconnect from Facebook and social media because it was just like, it's sickening. And I have two daughters.
Yeah.
So it's sad that, you know, 9 out of 10 chance that something, they will be sexually assaulted or harassed at some point in their life.
Yeah, and making sure that they have the tools to know what to do.
Well, that's the key, right?
Yeah.
Because we can assume that it will happen. But what I have to do is prepare them for when that does happen.
And it's also not the physical. And you made this point earlier, and I think it's worth repeating. It's verbal and other,
exactly.
You know, silent treatment and the sort, you know, that sort of stuff that goes on in families and workplaces, right?
Families, workplaces, boyfriends. I remember even at, 16 or maybe even 17, it wasn't even a boyfriend. I went out with a guy, didn't like him, it didn't work out,
mm-hmm.
and he just would not take no for an answer. Literally called me maybe 75 times, like, in succession in one day, like, just back to back, just harassing me.
Mm.
Like, how is that, first of all, that's not appealing to
yeah.
any woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to make me now want to go out with you again, because now I think you're crazy. But what in his mindset told him that was appropriate to do?
Yeah. And so, obviously, you wouldn't stand for that today. What did
Absolutely not. I didn't
yeah.
stand for it then, either.
Yeah. So what did you do then?
Oh, well, I did give him fair warning, and then eventually I called I was staying with my grandparents. I was in Surrey at the time,
mm-hmm.
and so I called the RCMP.
Yeah.
And I think they gave him a call, and he was quite polite after that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, why should it have to come to that?
Right.
Why can I just not be a female that can say no
mm-hmm.
and not have to suffer repercussions
yeah.
for that? So, you know, it's those things that we all have to be aware of and that our daughters have to be aware of, and other men, you know,
yeah.
to be wary of the, you know, the contact that the women in your life have with the men that they're around and the men that you're around.
Exactly, yeah. I mentioned earlier another director that was brought up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his name's James Toback. And I think there's a list of, well, not a list, but the Los Angeles Times is reporting that there are 35 women who have come forward about inappropriate behavior from him over the last number of years. I think some going back 20 years or more.
Mm.
So another name, unfortunately. But you know, it's naming it now, naming what it is, I think, and that's
right.
important. And, I'll take this chance to preview what's on the show this week. Lauren McKeon, she's a writer from Toronto, and she's written a book called F-Bomb, Dispatches from the War on Feminism. It's a really good book on how the problem with feminism is that there are just as many women who are anti-feminist and who are buying into a lot of the anti-feminist arguments and setting feminism back. And then Jen Ag, who's she owns a couple of restaurants in Toronto. She's written a memoir about the restaurant business and the various harassment she's had. It's called I Hear She's a Real Bitch. It's a really, both really good books. And I'm looking forward to talking to both women because they really are inspiring. And I say this as a guy, in their confidence and their willingness to talk about things that are uncomfortable, that make the reader uncomfortable. And I think, you know, conversations that come out of books like these are worth having today.
Well, yeah, we all need to be a bit uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
I think there might be a little bit too much comfort.
Mm-hmm. But it's nice talking again, and we're back for season 3, or the third year of doing this, and I'll talk to you next week.
It's already been 3 years, eh?
Yeah.
Gone by in like a flash.
Indeed.
Well, no, it was great talking to you today, and I'm looking forward to our next chat in 7 days. So that's 2 P's in a podcast for Monday, October 23rd.
I'm in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in a week.